Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
He's so good to us. As we were worshiping, I was watching deposits and withdrawals going on in the Spirit into each of us. And I heard greater measure, so Lord, we receive everything you have for us. We give you everything because you are the creator of everything. And teach us what that means to each of us individually. I'm doing a pause because some of you for the first time are actually experiencing the peace of God. Some of you are experiencing it. You used to feel the weightiness of His glory, but you've been out so long you forgot what that's like. And the Lord is just like giving you more rest. As I've been praying, you know, the Lord's really been talking what He wants to do with us this week. And I have no ability to do anything that He said. And so I'm just yielding and waiting and obeying and excited like a little kid on Christmas morning. When I was little, I used to peek and look at the presents before time and try to act surprised at Christmas morning. There's something about the anticipation of the gift. And I really feel like what He's doing is so awesome and so large if we will let Him. And so right now we yield completely to Holy Spirit, have your way in our hearts. Have your way in our lives. And some of you might have never ever known to say that, but it's actually a wonderful prayer. What are we doing today? Holy Spirit, help me. Hallelujah. Okay, so thank you, Father. So I feel like some of you are like, I want the walk of the Spirit, but I don't understand what that means. I've seen people get weird, and I don't want the weird part. And, you know, I've seen people walk around all spiritual and act all full of pride. I don't want that part. I just want you. I just want you, Jesus. I just want you. And I feel like what the Lord is trying to say is, I'm here and I want to teach you this path. It's a secret path. But there's some things that we have to understand before we can go further in Him. You know, and throughout the Word of God, there's many examples through Scripture of Him trying to lead His people back into fellowship and rebellion along the way. And idols along the way. And those not in the Word to scare us. They're to guide us and lead us into truth. So I want you to know that you're not alone. And God's not singling you out like you're bad or in trouble. He's calling you in. He's wooing you like a good father. And so some people, because of their upbringing, take this as correction with deflection, like it's not about me, I'm okay where I'm at. Well, you are not okay where you're at. There's more in the kingdom of God, and He wants you to have everything. And so some people were raised in poverty and are like, well, I'll just take a little bit of what He has because I don't deserve the rest. You, none of us deserve it. That's why He sent His Son. And some are like, I want it all because I'm entitled and I'm used to living off of the system. Well, the system doesn't work like that in the Spirit. And so God's trying to He's trying to bring us in as one in Him. And so He's going to address different areas and different thought processes and different experiences that we've had where we've been derailed or delayed or taken out. And because His goal is to bring us into true relationship as a bride where we are, you know, created for intimacy and fellowship. And that's possible. It's not some myth. It's not some, I heard maybe some mystic 100,000 years ago did that. It's none of that. It's for us today. It's the true picture of why He sent His Son Jesus to bring us back to the garden state before the fall. And so we have to deal with the fall nature of ourselves. And You know, some of us don't know our issues or don't know where our issues are, and we're wondering why we're hitting our head on the ceiling, as Holly spoke about last night. And, you know, I prayed for people to have dreams last night. I hope some of you had dreams and saw an area that, oh, that's under the covers, help. You know, I love when he gives me those dreams, and I love when he corrects me because I want everything he has for me, not because I'm great and not because I'm bad, but because I'm his. He owns me. And I have that understanding, and it was a process that I had to learn and walk out in him. And one of the things that happened in my life is, you know, I was taught the wrong system, as most of us were. You know, my parents raised me to be productive in society and a person of your word and with some manners, not a lot, but some. I thought I had a lot, but when I started to see other people, I realized, oh, I get taught those certain things. Which isn't bad, but hey, there's always room for improvement. So I often don't say the right thing, but God uses me because I'm usable, not because I know great words or because I'm so brilliant in his word. It's because I'm his daughter and he can trust me. And that was a process that we had to work out. Not we, meaning I had to learn to trust him, which is so weird because he is the creator of the universe and only wants good and what's best for us. But because I was raised in the way I was raised, and then I started doing drugs and hanging out in the streets, my atmosphere changed and my protection, my bubble changed. And so it was, I had a street mentality and I had to die to that. I had to trust the Lord that he is going to take care of me. And it didn't happen overnight. It happened with many many turns and twists and, you know, dead ends. But my heart is always, Lord, help me. Teach me. I'm a mess, and I can't do life without you. And some of us have to still come into that realization that we're a mess, and we can't do life without him. Some of us are thinking, well, I'm okay. I've gotten this far in life, and I'm doing okay. But you're limping. You're dragging your leg, and I'm talking spiritually. And God has more for you. Yay, the troops are here. And so, don't you love how God gives us a sense of humor? Come on now. That's a good thing. I remember when I was so shy. You know, I used to have to drink. I drank in high school before school, I'm telling you. I mean, I started drugs and alcohol very young. And, you know, I had long hair and I had typing in those days. And I'd be so wasted in the morning. And I never did learn how to type, you know, but I had friends in high places who had the Xerox copy for the master key for the test. And, you know, I traded drugs for that stuff. And so I got an A, but it didn't do me any good later on in life. I still type like this, although my hair is much shorter. So I'm saying, because of the choices I made, it caused delay in my life. Now, the enemy, he will do stuff like that. He will set you up to make a bad choice. There's always free will. And I've learned that it's important to always move slow. How many times have you moved too fast and then, oh, man, I got to undo that. You know, I got to break those words I spoke. You know, there is no plan B in the kingdom of God. And I had to learn that the hard way. And we all kind of learn that the hard way. But anyway, with me, I was so bound and shy. And I would be in the back of the back of the back of the room or come late and leave early for every event. And I think it's hilarious that I'm now a representative for the kingdom of God. I think that's hilarious. You know, I'm like the Gideon. Pick somebody else. But here's the thing. God wants to talk to his people, and I love when he talks to his people, and I will yield and let him talk to his people. And as the enemy tried to take me out from that, you know, there was, you know, when you start doing drugs, you get dull, and you get in trouble, and you end up in a dead-end place. You know, and in the world, in the natural, there's many man-made systems to help you maintain, but there's only one that can deliver. And his name is Jesus Christ. And I know there's people in here right now struggling with drug addiction, prescription medicine. And right now, I want to tell you something. He's here to deliver you. He will deliver you if you want him to. I'm not looking, although I'm looking. Drugs are designed to maintain, to help us. They're crutches. But it's not God's best. Now, if you're on prescription medicine, I'm not saying quit your medicine, but I'm asking you to seek the kingdom of God. Some of us took stuff because we didn't know there was another way. I remember before I knew that you could even get healed. I remember. Listen, God has healed me of high cholesterol, asthma, migraine headaches, a blood disorder, cracked rib, I could name a broken bone here. Listen, his kingdom, his system works, but we have to work it. We have to know it. And I remember, I was taking medicine for migraine headaches because the fear that comes on you when you get the thought of a migraine headache? That's a foul devil. I just want to tell you, I didn't know we were going here this soon. Okay. Listen, that's a foul spirit. It's a tormenting spirit that's sent from the pit of hell to cause you to be in bondage and decay. And God sent Son Jesus to release you from captivity. And so right now, if you're struggling with migraine headaches, I break the hold of the enemy over your life right now, and I command the freedom. I just saw some chains pop. Hallelujah. I command the freedom. You will never, ever struggle with that demon again. I'm telling you, that was a lie. It's not part of the covenant of God. It does not belong to you. That is going back in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I remember when I first heard that there was healing for, I didn't know. I wasn't taught that in church, although I slept through most of it because I was out the night before. Why did I go to church? I'm not sure. I was afraid of hell. I think that was it. I was just afraid of hell. I didn't know. I thought you had to pay Guido, so you didn't end up hanging there somewhere. That's how messed up my doctrine was. I didn't have any. I got it from TV. It was terrible. I wasn't raised in religion, thank you, Jesus, but I also didn't know who he was. And I walked into an Edgar and Holly Bailey meeting on a Saturday night, and it rocked my world. I walked in there and met Jesus face to face. And when you meet him, there's nothing you can do. Everything stops because he's eternal. So anything and everything stopped that night. And it was like I was totally convicted of my life and totally convicted of who I was. And when you meet him, we've all said the sinner's prayer, hallelujah, but there's more. There's more. He's real, and he's, I see him calling us to him. And so what happened for me was, I thought the whole thing was a little weird when I first got there, but oh my gosh, when I saw him and met him, I didn't even care. I sat in the back. I didn't care who was there, and I just wanted him. And I didn't even know who he was, but I knew he was Jesus. But when you don't know somebody, you don't know them instantly, although you know them like you've known them all your life. And what happened for me is he wrecked me. He just wrecked me. His presence consumed me. And he came on me in such a strong way. And the way he came on me is different than most people. But, he'll meet you where you're at. And because I was a secret drug user, at that time I was now doing, I wasn't drinking anymore, but I was still doing medications. And what happened was he came on me in such a way that it felt like what I wanted it to feel like all my life when I would take the first hit. And for those of you who know what that's like, you know what that's like. And it never happens. The first hit is never what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to entice and give you that perfect peace, but it's the counterfeit. And when he came on me, it was the perfect peace, and it wasn't the counterfeit. And I said, oh my God, all my life I've been searching for you, and I've gone into all these counterfeit paths, and I have met Jesus Christ. He is real. He really is real. And it changed my life in that instant. And it didn't happen overnight, but it was the beginning. And it was the beginning of the best of the best, and also the fall of everything that I had built in the natural. Because what happens is, when you seek him, you will find him. Well, he sought me first. And I'm like an addict in those days and still am when it's his presence. I want him all the time. I can't live without him because he's my substance. He's my breath. He's my life. He knows everything. Now, that came as a working in progress. And what happened to me was He would come upon me in the meetings. I didn't know how to house his presence at home. Well, first of all, my house was so crusty and dark, how could I? And so what happened was I would like go to these meetings because I'd meet Jesus at these meetings and the Holy Ghost would fall and it would be like, wahoo, best drugs in the world. But it was real and no side effects and no hangover. It was like into my veins, his life and his life source. And I just was undone by his goodness. And every time I'd go to a service, a little more, a little more. And he would hang with me for a few days and then I would lose his presence, and I didn't understand why or how that worked, and I would be like, you know, what am I doing wrong? You know, what, help me, Lord. And he would help me. He would show me the areas, the wide open door of sin in my life, and I would be like, oh, that's sin. See, I didn't know. How do you know if you weren't raised that way? I didn't know, you know, a lot of stuff like adultery. I didn't know about that stuff, stealing. You know, my mom and dad told me not to steal, but I didn't know it was a commandment. So my simple mind just knew to go to those meetings. And when I'd go to those meetings, I remember one night Edgar would always do this prayer line, and I would close my eyes and I would see this ball of light, sometimes a ball of fire, making its way towards me, and that would be it. That would be the, and then I wouldn't know. I'd come to and I'd be like, I got healed of asthma. I got healed of high cholesterol. I got healed of a blood disorder. And I thought that I had to go there to get the healing. I didn't know that we house the presence of the Holy Ghost. I had to learn that through relationship. I hadn't yet obtained, and I'm still working on a relationship always with him. And it's deeper as we grow in him, the more we get to know him. And it's just like when you meet somebody on the street. You don't instantly know everything about them and what they like. And so one of the things that happened to me was I was living a dual life, you know, wrecked by God, but still having to be a mom and a wife and on PTA committees and, you know, all the rest of that stuff that I was involved in and working. And I could feel his pull, though, towards holiness. I didn't know it was called holiness then, you know, and so I would like go to these services and have these amazing encounters with the Lord and starting to have them at home. And then I would have to pretend that I'm still living this old dead life. You know, I call it old dead now, but it was like very active back then. And what happened was I had to hide my relationship with Jesus. And because first of all, I didn't know how to tell everybody what had happened, you know, and people started to notice I was a little odd at that point because I, you know, what I used to do, I wasn't doing anymore. You know, I used to think, you know, when you shopped at Walmart and if they didn't check, I forgot about this, if something was in the bottom of your cart, that was a blessing. That was, you know, I had to go back and start paying for all this stuff that that I had stolen. You know, I that's my relationship with God back then. Oh, God blessed me. I don't even understand that today. I don't even have a framework, but that was my framework back then. And I'm telling you, we have frameworks that God is going to bust in here this week, and we're going to be rebuilt in his image in greater glory for his good pleasure. And so with me, as I started to, you know, because I was in a church, because that's what you do. You know, you raise a family and you go to church on Sunday. And you sing your three songs and you can't wait until they're done. And back then, I was so bound, I couldn't even raise my hands. I wanted to, but I couldn't. I was so shy and broken. And, you know, Bible study. You join the Bible study, the woman's Bible study, because it looks good, you know. What was I thinking? You know, when you're broken, you don't know. You have part of the direction, so you do the best you can, and you build up this limpy thing that shows up at the women's Bible study only for the food. Never had the study done, ever, ever. I don't even think I opened the book. In fact, I wouldn't even buy it. They would give it to me, okay? And let me just tell you something. You want to know how good God is? I'm still friends with most of those women, and a couple of them are here tonight, today, and a couple of them come all the time on Wednesdays. I mean, God is good. See, it doesn't matter where you're at. He's taking you if you want to go. And the bus has left, okay? The airplane is gone. And it's not too late to say, wait for me, I'm coming. but you got to go quick. The delay time is over, friends. And that's what I feel like God is trying to say to us. No more excuses, no more delay. Now, I shared a little bit about my background because I don't want you to think, you know, that I just stumbled into the presence. I didn't. I crawled in. You know, he showed up, he wrecked me, and then I crawled and made my way. And was it easy? No. Every week there was an obstacle. I had kids that were crying, kids with fevers, a husband monitoring every second of my day who did not like church. He didn't even like PTA. He wanted me home with him all the time. But I was self-employed, so I was able to work that system. And so then I also started another company, mortgages. And so I was doing mortgages too, so I would take a mortgage application during the day, but really I would say I was taking it at night so I could go to service. And, you know, so I was even lying to my husband back then, but I was doing it because I'm living this dual life. And he's like, what is wrong with you? I married a woman who used to party, and look at you now. You know, you're in the Word. So there was turbulence in my house, okay? And the foundation that we built on man's system was crumbling. It was starting to crack, and the storms were blowing, and it was getting pretty hard to hold the walls and the ceiling on. And I remember getting on the face one night. And I'm like, Lord, I know things are really bad. And I know that everything's going to blow. But you know what? I'm going to choose you no matter what. I'm going to believe that you're good enough and big enough to help me. I don't know what it looks like. And I don't even know how it's going to work out. But I'm choosing you. And I'll never forget that. I mean, I was laying face on my face on the floor in my bedroom. And I'm like, I had already said, I'm going to serve you all the days of my life. I'd done that earlier, but now it was like the winds were blowing and the storms were, it was like, you know, that screen on the TV where it's red. It was red, okay? The storm was bad. And I remember thinking, Lord, I'm just going to trust you. And you know, I had, you know, because I was in properties, I had a ton of properties. I had, you know, where I was, it looked like the perfect life, but it was all fake. You know, it was fake. You know, I remember when the post lady, you know, I lived in a small town. I remember when she got wind of our separation, she's like, out of all the couples, I would have never thought it was you two. And I remember thinking, me neither. You know, I really didn't. And because I had such a stance about divorce. In fact, I was very judgmental. I was one of those Christians. God does not like divorce. Look at you, you're divorced. You know, be careful. Be careful about judgment. When it hit me, I was like convicted big time. And I won't even go into the story about the elder board calling and saying, you're listening to the devil. I'm not going to go into all that. But listen, God's calling us. Meanwhile, the house in the natural, there's a storm. And I don't know what color your screen is. Some of you are going through some hard times right now. And you need to get on your face and say, Lord, I'm going to trust you no matter what. I don't know what it means. See, there's this thing called the Great Exchange where he really is all and knows all. And he really is your papa. He really is your beloved. He really is your best friend. And because we don't spend enough time with them, we don't understand that. It comes through relationship and actually through faith and trials. There's many times I had to believe and make a choice. Lord, I know this looks terrible, but I'm going to believe that you have this. I don't know how it's going to look. And you know what? You get to exercise that belief through the trials and the storms. Yeah, I can just give you a couple easy ones. When the basement floods, you know, used to flood in the name of Jesus, you know, Lord, I don't know how you're going to fix this, but I know you are, because this basement belongs to you. This house belongs to you. See, you can't say that if it's not his. And that's where some people get in trouble. Lord, I'm asking you to fix this, because this is you. I'm yours. Well, are you really his? Have you really had that heart connection? Have you really given his stewardship, everything to him, and now you steward what he... See, because here's the thing. He owns everything. We have to understand that. Everything. That chair, these pants, this name tag, and me. Everything. And because I made that deal with him where, Lord, I'm going to serve you the rest of my life. I don't know how it looks, and I don't really care, but I know you're going to take care of me because you are my dad. my eternal Father in heaven who watches over me and takes care of me. And because I've said that, he's challenged me to have the stuff in my heart. It was a lot of bad stuff, a lot of false belief systems, a lot of, you know, junk. It caused a squeeze or a purge where it would pop out. Like, oh, I guess I don't really believe you because this is what I just said. I'll give you an example. Because I owned all those properties, you know, I lived in a really nice house. It looked like we were the perfect, what's that family on TV? The Brady Bunch. We looked like we were the perfect family, but we were falling apart on the inside. We're dead on the inside. But because I knew how to play or act or perform, people didn't know that. And I'll tell you something else. If you offer help, they don't care. They'll look past all your ickiness because people need help, meaning PTA and all that nonsense. I'm not saying it's all nonsense, but most of it is. And so what happened is I remember when I was learning to trust the Lord. You know, I love that scripture, lean not on your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. I spent probably 2 years getting revelation on that and exercising and practicing that. That was like my spiritual muscles. And opportunity after opportunity presented itself. And in the natural, it didn't look good. I remember, you know, when I had to move and go live in a rented house, I had a piece of carpet that I needed in the basement. And I was like, how am I ever going to get that moved in the basement? Lord, I need help. Will you help me? Look out the window, and there's a man who came in and helped put this carpet. See, it's by faith. And so, and relationship, and I'm trying not to go too deep, but what's in our heart is what we have to deal with. And so as I was learning to come out from underneath the world system, which is ruled by money and control and manipulation, when you come out of a system like that, they don't like you to leave because you're a pawn. And so there was lots of resistance. And see, there's a scripture that talks about you can't serve two masters. You're either going to serve God or, I say the world, but they say mammon. And so what happened was I was like, Lord, you know, all this is fake. I'm so sorry I built this empire, and it's all garbage. And it's, you know, the winds are blowing. And I remember at one point I had, like, no money, nothing. And I was learning to trust him. And it was necessary for me not to have any money, because if I had the money, I would not have exercised faith and trust. And so I'm thinking I'm exercising it and practicing. And you know, I used to be able to go out and eat steak dinner whenever I wanted. We'd take the kids out wherever we wanted. We had every toy you can imagine and never worried about bills. The funds were just constantly flowing. You know, I had tons of rentals, so the money was always flowing. Was there a lot of debt? Absolutely. Did I have bondage on me? Absolutely. Am I painting it as like I had the great life? No, it was terrible. I was in bondage to that stuff. And when you are in bondage, some of you are in bondage to financial debt right now. When financial debt grips hold of you, it's got a spirit of fear attached to it, and it'll cause you to wake up in the middle of the night and start to think, how am I ever going to make this work? Listen, if you're that far in, let it go and ask the Lord for wisdom. I had to let things go, but he gave me a strategy. You know, I this happened in 2008. You know, all the properties, you know, the Lord's like, let them all go. We did short sales. We didn't file bankruptcy. We did short sales. That was right when they first started. And I had to deal with the shame of short sales. Oh, what will people think of me? Oh, let's talk about shame. What will people think of me? Listen, what does God think about you? Where are you looking? Focus on him and his promises. People are going to come and go. They're going to judge you and not judge you, and it doesn't matter. None of that matters. They did it to Jesus. They're going to do it to you. And so I'm trying to get to the story about finance because I know there's a few people in here struggling with money right now. And so as the Lord was teaching me how to live on his system, he taught me about seed, time, and harvest. And he started to teach me how to sow seed and how to exercise my faith. And so I'm thinking, oh, I got it. I'm doing it. And things were happening. But remember I talked about the pressing of the heart and something will come out? And it usually comes out in a word or thought. And so I remember Edgar God bless him. I had sandals on one night, and he said to me, just as clear as day, it was after a service, he said, "How come your toenails aren't painted?" You know, he talked like that. And as fast as he said it, I said, "'Cause I'm poor." And when that popped out of me, I had such a conviction of the Holy Ghost, not in a bad way, like, oh my gosh, that's in my heart. That is a deep seed in my heart. And I didn't laugh it off. I said, I break those words in the name of Jesus. I'm not poor. And I went to the Holy Ghost and I said, I got an issue. I see it. You got to help me with this. And so he started to work with me of the issues of my heart. A lot of inner vows I had to break. He had to show them to me. And then I had to see, I was still having a plan B at that time. Well, if this doesn't work out, I can always do this. When you can always do this, let me tell you something. Plan B, it's funny about plan B. I don't think I've ever shared this before. I always was a person with a plan B. In fact, I wrote a poem about it. The Lord gave me a poem. I don't remember it anymore, but plan B is kind of what ignited the fall of my marriage. I shared plan B with somebody once, and they turned on me and shared it with my husband. And I'm laughing now because plan B will always bite you. Because it disconnects from the spirit. Plan B is flesh, and flesh profits nothing. And so there's people in here who have plan B. Plan B. You got to put plan B on the altar because God wants you to learn how to trust him. And it doesn't happen overnight, but I can see there's conviction going on in the room, but not like the, you, it's more like, ah. Don't you love when he does that? And so if you have a plan B, ask the Lord, why do you have that? And it's because you don't trust him. I'll just tell you. And then say, you know, you've been hurt, you don't trust, you know, will he really take care of me? And I know that because I walked through it. I have no plan B. And let me tell you what happened. What happened to me was, as you work this stuff out with fear and trembling, you work this out with him in the deep, dark place, not in front of people. You work this out on the couch, in the prayer chair, in the car, you know, when it's just him and you. And what is my problem? Oh, God, I'm such a wreck. I can't believe I talk like that. Or I can't believe I think like that. Or why am I doing this? I've been praying and fasting and I'm still doing this. It's probably because you have a plan B. And so what I mean by that is it's subtle. It's like a survival mechanism in the natural that's robbing you of the blessing in the supernatural. And so some of those we've been taught as little kids. You know, if you grew up in a violent home, you got a plan B unless you've been delivered. You know where the exit door is. You know where to hide. And sometimes those carry over into other areas of your life. Could be work. Could be your spouse. Could be your kids. And so for me, my life was so such a mess. And when I finally heard the truth, you know, that you can have relationship this side of heaven, I went after him. Because all my life I've been searching for him, but I didn't know it. Because I got caught up in all the counterfeits, rage, you know, drugs, rebellion, crazy stuff. And it's still going on today. And so some of you have kids that are like, you know, going down the wrong path. And I feel like the Lord's saying to you, you need to let them go because you're micromanaging. And I'm seeing like in a picture right now, I'm seeing like a fishing pole. And I see you have the hook on your kid. And every time he gets a little too far, you jerk it back and come in a little bit. You need to let him go and let him swim. He's got to find God on his own. You didn't find God when somebody did that to you. And you're expecting that to work. It's not going to work. You have to cut the control. Cut the control. And here's the thing. I mastered this. I can say that. I'm an expert in letting go of children. I had to. I was in a court battle where, you know, God set me up. I didn't know it. I'm thankful that my mind is, I don't have the ability, thank you, Jesus, to think the worst about stuff. I just don't think that way. I've never been that way. I just don't trust people. That was my issue. And now I do trust. But not everybody. So, because some people have evil intent. You know, Timothy talks about it, you know. Just saying. So anyway, with the children, I'm seeing people in here who are holding, you know, onto their kids. They're adults. And this kind of reminds me of, you know, forget that time keeps moving on and they're adults. You know, it's we stop changing diapers at about what age? In the natural? 2, 3, maybe 4 if we need to. But when they're 30, there's an issue. 20, issue. 16, issue. Now, it's okay, but it's not God's best. And if you want God's best, we need to get the plan from heaven. And so for me, I didn't know I was going to set up this way. But what happened was, you know, it's a long story, and I don't like to share a lot of it, but I feel like I'm supposed to. I had to make a choice in my life: serve God or stay the way things were. And I was actually physically to make a choice, and it was a no-brainer because I had to put God first. I just had to. And I so what happened was, I don't like to on my husband, so I leave a lot of it out because I do respect him and I am still friends with him. But there were some issues and I forget what that's called when you cheat. What's that called legally? Adultery. Thank you. and so I asked for a separation, thinking that would shock my husband into finding Jesus, you know, and it actually caused rage and rebellion, and he threw the gauntlet down and went after me with everything he could, and I never saw that side of him. Married 20 years and never saw that side of him, and didn't think he was capable of being that nasty. And what happened was, he tried to prove I was mentally unstable because I heard from God. And I had to actually, you know, I was in front of the elder board, all that stuff, because I was in one of those churches that are seeker-friendly, and everything's okay. We're all friends, and we're serving the community in love. And forget about Jesus, but let's just serve the community in love. And I'm sorry. And the Lord wouldn't let me leave that church for a long time after, too. So, but anyway, what happened was, he filed suit for divorce and went after me for being mentally unstable. And back then I probably was mentally unstable, but not in the way that people thought, you know, not in the world system, but certainly with the Lord. It was the backward system. So anyway, what happened was he filed suit, and I actually had to go to see, I was already in counseling, a marriage counseling. My husband wouldn't go, but I was going. And so I had to get 3 letters that said I wasn't nuts. Like one from my doctor, one from, I forget even who now. It was kind of embarrassing. Could you write me a letter that says I'm not a nutcake? It was said much more professional, I'm sure. Help! No. So anyway, what happened was, he was trying to take the kids. You know, I had twins. We had twins. And this was when they were in 8th grade. And, you know, I'll never forget it. We sat down to talk to the kids, and they thought we were going on a family vacation. You know, I mean, it was just devastating. And my intention was, you know, we can do this together. We're just not going to live together, and we'll just share the kids and split everything 50-50. And, you know, just, I tried to be fair. And my husband was like, absolutely not. I'm taking the kids. And I thought, how odd. You know, there's a lot to that, but I'm not going to go into it. But we had to go in front of the school, and because they did intervention because the kids started having trouble with grades, and they were like, and who are you to my husband? You know, and which I thought was hilarious. But anyway, I got the phone call. I'm trying to get to a point here, and the point was, I remember when the attorney called me in that morning. You know, I'd taken communion and had to go. I didn't know it takes me one time and with courts. But I remember when my attorney called me and she said, are you ready for court? And I said, yeah, I'm ready. And I didn't want my family to come because he was saying such nasty stuff that wasn't true. And I thought, they don't need to hear that. I don't want them to have to go through listening to terrible stuff that's not true. And so I went there with, God set me up with a lady that I don't even see her anymore, but she just was there for that season to help me. and she knew legal stuff, and my attorney was there, and I'll never forget, I'm sitting on the deck, and I was praying in the morning, I'd taken communion, and the attorney called, and she said, I just need to prepare you, you may lose your kids today. And I was like, oh. I hang up, I think, I didn't even think that was a choice, I didn't even fathom that, and this is what happened. I was sitting on the deck, and I said, Lord, I don't know much. I really don't, but I know you know what's best for the kids. I don't know what's best for the kids, but I know you do. And right now, I am giving my kids to you. You're their father. You're their mother. I am placing them in your jurisdiction. You got to help. And that was it. You know. And so time went on, and my kids grew into rebellion. You know, when you first they played the system of... You know, get everything I can from mom because she's feeling guilty. Get everything from dad because he's mad at mom and feeling guilty. You know? And so I wised up to that, though, by the Holy Ghost. See, I learned how to parent, be a good parent. I was not a great parent. I mean, I love my kids, but I learned to give them wisdom by the Holy Ghost, which saved their lives. And I wouldn't have had that if I didn't know him. And one of the things, I will say this, God said to me, well, not directly, but he used Kim Mack, actually, and she called me up and she said, I got a word from the Lord. Guard your heart against bitterness. And I remember thinking, bitterness? What's that? You know, and I said, okay. I hung up and I thought, okay. I didn't even know what bitterness was. I've never been a grudge holder, but I'll never forget the day when bitterness knocked on my door. See, God sent a warning. And I remember, you know, this was going on. And it's like, you know, you could justifiably be angry if you live in the natural. And I was like, that thing was trying to come at me. And I remember getting on my face and saying, Lord, you got to deliver me of this bitterness. I don't want this root. I bless him in the name of Jesus. You know what's best. Lord, I want to walk in perfect peace. And I'm laying on there crying and getting delivered. And I never had bitterness. It never was able to foothold. And so time goes on. My kids are, you know, now in high school. My daughter strays a little bit and she's doing a little of the rebellion. And I remember going to the Lord and saying, Lord, she's your daughter. What do you say about this? I gave her to you. I remember saying it about my son. Lord, that's your kid. You remember on that day? I used to know the date. I don't anymore. On the balcony, on the porch, when I gave my kids to you, these are yours. I don't know how to be a parent, but you are. What are you doing about it? And I waited for him to give me his wisdom. And I'm telling you, if I didn't, my children would not be where they're at today. I could still have them on the hook and trying to micromanage them. And here's the thing. As we grow in relationship with the Father, we go into the secret place. When you go into the secret place, you only go by yourself with him. You can't bring your kids in. You can't bring your husband in. You can't bring your work in. Hey, here's one. You can't bring your cell phone with. Have you done it? Does it? You know what happens. It pulls you out. Oh, I'll be right back, Lord. 3 hours later. I've been convicted of that. I've had to repent. Listen, what I see happening is God's calling us into such a oneness with him. The doorway is small. It talks about it in Matthew. It's a very narrow doorway. Few find it. I want us all to find it. The distractions are calling our name. The excuses, they'll always be there. But all it takes is a choice. And you know, I like to choose life every day. And I actively choose life. You know, I could get up every day and be crabby if I wanted to. I could choose to be a grump, but what's the point? God has given me everything. And I'm learning how to steward what he's given me. So fast forward, owned those properties, had nice cars. My car got repoed. You know, I actually saw the chain in the spirit when that car left. It busted. You know, did I just say, okay, I'm going to not pay my bills anymore? No, the car payment was, I don't even remember, but it was like $600 or $700 a month. You know, I don't know what they are now, but I was not making that money anymore. I was living a single life, trying to raise kids. And so you missed the first payment. And you're like, okay, well, maybe I can get... No. Every move was a move. I listened to the Holy Ghost and said, what are we doing right now? Those days when he brought me out of Egypt and brought me into the desert, those were the most wonderful days of my life. There was such oneness with him because my life depended on it. I needed to hear him, I needed to know him, and I needed to be led by him. And then I remember the day when I crossed over and I was sitting there. I'll never forget this. He gave me a house. Who does that? He gave me a house. I remember when he told me, you need to get a house. And they were all idols to me back then. I didn't tell you all that, but they were idols. And he said to me, you need to have a house. You're going to be traveling, you need to do this, you need a place to call home. And I was like, I don't want a house. You know, when you kill an idol, you don't want it to come up from the dead. No. You know, I'm not kidding. I had like pictures of my house on them in my office. You know, what I paid, all the inflow and all that. You know, I killed them all. How did it happen? Sitting in one of Holly's meetings. It came up. Idolatry. What are you worshiping? I laugh at it now. It's so bizarre. It's like my old dead life. And so when you die to something, oftentimes he'll give you, but better. Because there's no limitation. See, in the natural, there's these limitations. You know, some of you are believing for houses. I'm going to tell you how it happened. And see, it happened to me because I know him and I did what he said to do. Did I want to? No. There's always like, that doesn't make any sense. I'll never forget it. You know, I had a little bit of money and he's like, I want you to buy a house. I'm thinking, you know, because we sold land, we paid all the debts, blah, 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 and there was a little bit left. And he said, I want you to buy a house. I'm thinking, it was not even enough for down payment. Maybe $5,000. I'm making that up. I don't know. But it was certainly not enough to buy a house. He said, I want you to buy a house. And I'm like, okay. So in the natural, I'm looking at it as, what can I afford? Isn't that what we're taught? Doesn't that make sense? So I'm looking at these little, I call them crack shacks. You know, they're the houses I used to buy, flip, you know, clean, flip, and I'm like, well, I could live in that. And some of them were so bad, I think, well, I could live in a camper first and then fix the house up, you know, and then that'll be our home. And I'm thinking, but I got kids. How's that going to work? And, you know, I could sleep on my sister's couch and maybe, you know, rehab. It's crazy, crazy limit thinking. And the Lord says to me one day, I'll never forget this. And the realtor wouldn't even go in half the houses. She's like, I'm not going in that thing, you know. But I was listening to the voice of the Lord to buy or not to buy. And he'd be like, get out, you know. And so, and there was no flow. You know when he tells you to do something, but there's no flow? You're in the wrong part. You know, you're in the flesh. You're trying to figure it out. I can't tell you how many times I've been in the wrong flow. I know what that feels like. I remember it. And so I'm trying to, you know, buy a house because he told me to buy a house, but, you know, I'm not seeing the one he wants and I'm frustrated. And he says to me, I want you to write 3 letters and ask people if they will, I forget if he said land contract or lend me the money or be the bank. I don't remember anymore. It's been years. And so he told me the 3 people to write the letters to. And all 3 people said no. And I'm like, now I know that was you. What gives? And I was miffed at God. I'm like, you know. And so now my son, who loves family and get-togethers, he's like, we're supposed to go to my sister's. And she was one of them and said no because her job was unstable. And so we're supposed to go there. And I'm like, I didn't want to go, but I gave my son my word. So we go. I go not wanting to go at all, and we get there, and my sister's friend's there, and I call her my sister's rich friend, and she's like, "What's up, Lori?" And at this time, there were so many supernatural things going on, I couldn't tell people because they were so bizarre. But I was telling my sister, and she's tell her what's up, and so I start telling her all this cool stuff God's doing, and. She's like, I say, yeah, and God told me to buy a house. And she goes, do you have any information on it? Well, I didn't. But my sister had information on it because I sent her the letter. And she threw it in, you know, it was in her delete box. I forgot to tell you this part. Looking at these crack houses and backing up. That morning, I wake up and the Lord says, you haven't seen the house I have for you, but you're going to see it today. So, because I'm frustrated, you know, like, now they're going to look at another house. And my realtor pulls up and goes, I feel like today's the day. She goes, there's a hot sheet, and you haven't even seen this house that's on this hot sheet. That's like the current listings. We look at it, and she goes, let's go there first. We pull up, and there's this big glory cloud over this house. And I'm like, that's my house. 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 It's everything I wanted in a house. That's my house. And I'm like, I don't have any money. But I'm like, write the contract. You know, I'm like, because I knew, you know when you know when it's God. And I'm like, write the contract. We're buying this house. It was a foreclosure. And so that's the information I sent to my sister and these two other people. And so this girl's like, let me see the information. So I show. She goes, we would like to invest. And she goes, we would like to, I can't remember if she said land, sell, we'd like to rent it to you, or what was it? That was later. She goes, we'll let you do it on a land contract or something. And I said, no, I don't want to rent, I want to own. She goes, we'll be your bank. And so she said, we want to be the bridge, help you get back on your feet. And so, I mean, how cool is this? I'm like, oh my gosh, pinch me. You know, the kids go see the house, and on the front of the house it says, as for me and the Lord, we will serve. And here's the thing. That was the fight between me and my husband. And I used to have this cross in our house, and it was like, choose me or choose God. And it was like, I had to go after God. And it was like God was just like kissing the front door with what we had gone through. It was like full circle. And I was like, God, you're so good to me. You know, it had a porch. It was awesome. It was a foreclosure. And so it was a really cheap price. And, you know, not cheap like I was looking, but I forget. It was probably 170 or something. I don't know. But anyway, she had to leave the country. She's like, I'll just wire you the money. Sign a contract later with me. I mean, who does that? God does that. God does that. And so I said, well, let me put something on a piece of paper in case something happens to you guys or me when I'm, you know, that way I don't want you out your money. And so, you know, it was just scratched on a piece of paper a couple days later. And so I'm telling you this. Do you remember when I was too poor to have toenail polish? God worked that out of my heart. Those were the issues of the heart. And that's what he's doing in here. He's working out the issues. And so I came out from that system, that world system. And I don't like that. I lived under that. And I made a deal with God when I came out of it. I'm never going back into that system again. And he's taken care of me. He takes care of me because I'm his. And everything I have belongs to him. When I get something, it's because he gives it to me or he tells me to get it. And then we bless it and give it back to him. And then I steward it. And that's why it's important. We talked last night about seed and sowing seed. There's so much to that system. It's deep, full of revelation. It's for every part of your life. Oftentimes people are like, it's just finances. No, it's every area of your life. I sowed my kids into his kingdom, and he has the blessing on my kids. He, you know, I can't tell you, I've never lost sleep, one night's sleep over my kids and their decisions. Not one. And they've made some dumb stuff. But so have I. But I'm not owned. I don't own those kids. God owns them. And when I was working this stuff out, getting rid of Plan B, he used to say to me, I own you. I go, I know you do. See, I had to be owned by him. I had to recognize that he was Lord because I was rebellious and nobody owned me and nobody told me what to do. And so that rebellion had to get worked out. And so when he'd say that, it wasn't like I'm punishing you with like a whip. It's like, you do own me. Thank you. Somebody who cares for me, who really has, you know, the heart of the Father, loves me and owns me. I'm owned by him. I'm his possession. And he's proud of me. And I remember the day when I couldn't say that. I'd be like, oh. I remember the day when I'd stand in front of people. I'd have to be drunk. I told you that earlier. Eighth grade. Gook, 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 gook. Have to give the speech in the morning. I'll tell you. You know, see, what happens is we find our true identity in him. I found out that I'm really a beautiful person. You know, and I say that not in pride and not in not pride. I say it because that's who I am, because I'm created in his image. You know, I had to work that out with him. I remember looking in the mirror the other day. I don't look in the mirror that often. I just don't. I've never cared about what I look like in appearance. I think I was trying pants on. And I remember thinking, wow, I'm created in my Father's image. Isn't that awesome? That's pretty cool. He's brilliant. And here's the thing. You are created in his image. And you're not junk. And you're not garbage. Some of you have been told terrible things. It's lies. The enemy used to trick and to keep you in this bondage of shame. Right now, I break shame off every one of you in this room right now. I break it off. Some are carrying a heaviness from a dad that said bad things. You know, he was just being used by the enemy to get the enemy's agenda into the earth. It's not true. You're royalty, princess. You're royalty. You're royalty. And so as we go on, I feel like we're opening up some stuff, and I feel like God is making way for an exchange of some issues of our heart. And we're going to kind of shift a little bit. I'm just waiting to see what we're doing, but I feel like some things need to get put in order. You know, and one of the things I like to see is I love when decisions of the heart are made, because once they're made, it's they're like cement. You can't undo a decision of the heart. It's the heart. It's hidden deep in him. So I'm talking about the good decisions. The bad ones, those kind of like pop out. It's like, you know, the decisions of the heart that are good are like pillars, you know, like structural, like foundational. And then the bad ones are kind of like bricks that just need to come out. They're a little heavy and a little awkward, but easy to spit out. And I don't mean that in like a bad way. I know you're saying it. Hallelujah. So are you guys doing okay? You want some more? Yeah, so do I. I got to take a drink of water, though. Does anybody have any questions with what was said? Good friends with him? He said something interesting to my son about 6 months ago. My son has done, he was making some stupid decisions. You know, he's 24, 25, and he's not as close to the Lord as I would like him to be. And I've been praying for him and waiting, but I'm not going to do it in the flesh and say, you need to repent. And so what happened was my son had like a car accident. He had a couple other weird things happen. And I felt like it was, you know, when you are in sin, whether what kind of sin, it doesn't matter. Sin brings a curse. And what happened was this stuff, it was like he was making bad choices and therefore he was having bad packages delivered. And my daughter, who is serving the Lord, said to me, don't say nothing, don't say nothing. And I'm like, I'm not gonna. I'm waiting on the Lord. Hello. And and she knows me, though, you know, she, because I'll say it like the Lord. I won't sugarcoat it, I'll, you know. And so so the day came when he was motocrossing. We were in Colorado. We just pulled in for the women for the mixed retreat. And his son sent me a picture of his leg all scratched up. And he used to motocross when he was young. And I saw the picture, and I called him. I said, are you okay? And he said, I'm okay. I just messed up my knee. And I said, listen, can I call you back? And he said, yeah. He was on the other line. So it was a total setup from the Lord. And so what happened was, he called back, and I happened to have a cell phone signal, which is like unheard of at that retreat center. And I said, he started telling me stuff, and I said, listen, Matt, you know, we need to talk. I said, I really feel like the Lord's trying to get your attention. That is the exact same thing my dad said. And I was surprised to hear that, because we don't talk about religion. I pray at our meals, but we don't talk about our walk. He knows I'm in ministry, but I don't peek into his stuff, you know, but he knows if he calls me, I will be there in a minute and help him. And he was very, very angry and very in the old days, and he's mellowed a lot, and he's gotten some truth. So he did say the sinner's prayer at a marriage retreat, but 100 years ago he said I tricked him into doing that. So I don't know, you know, where I know he's not where he was. But I don't monitor his relationship with the Lord because I'm really not in covenant with him anymore. But my son, who called me, I said, you need to repent. You need to close the doors to the enemy. This is all happening because you're in the enemy's camp. And you need to rededicate your life to Jesus. And so I said, are you ready to do that, son? I said, absolutely. And so I said, let's do a repeat after me. And we did this long prayer. And then, of course, I did the side swing in of the Holy Ghost, baptized me in the, you know, the Holy Ghost with power. And, you know, and he said it all, you know. And where he's at right now, I don't know. I don't monitor my kids. You know, we pray on the phone, but Does he go to church? Well, I don't think he is with what's going on where he's at in the state. But I just don't worry about my kids because something happened that day on that porch, and I'll never take that back from God. And that's what I see. Sometimes people do that. Oh, I'll give you my kids because it's really bad right now. But then they take it back, and then they rob the blessing. It's like when you it's kind of like this. I don't know if this is – it's probably a terrible analogy, but sometimes when I pray for people, somebody else will come up, and they'll be like wanting to lay hands on them, and it's like there's a mixed thing going on. It's not pure. And it's like, could you just take your hand off for a second and let's just see what the Lord's doing? And it's kind of like that in a weird way. Does that help you at all? Did I answer your question? Okay. So here's the thing. When my daughter graduated college, I called Len and said, you want to do like a luncheon for Megan? And he's like, that's a really good idea. And I said, would you pay half? He said, absolutely. We went to the graduation party, to the ceremony and those hard bleachers. We yacked like two little school kids on the bench, you know, like catching up. And then at the dinner, we were like catching up. It was like we were friends. It was like really like nothing happened except we're just not married anymore. It's the weirdest thing. And, you know, that's the way it's supposed to be. It's not supposed to be division. And, you know, it doesn't always work that way because of people's choices. But my choice was to keep my heart pure. I tried very hard not to say terrible stuff about their dad. And, you know, there was many opportunities where I could have been pushed to, but I just would be like, Lord, I'm not doing it. You got to help me. You know, and he really helped me. Was I perfect? Absolutely not. I just found out 3 months ago, I think it was 3 months ago, Megan brought it up, and she said, you know, we had to pick sides. I go, you did? I didn't know that. I didn't see it as that way. And I said, I am so sorry you had to pick sides. And so I repented to both my kids about that. I didn't, you know, it sometimes divorce is messy. It's ugly. It's never good. It always causes problems. And, you know, I feel bad when the kids have to go through that. It's hard enough. And then to cause a split. And a lot of times people don't recover. And I feel like my kids, you know, with my kids, you know, I left so much of it out that we weren't allowed to go to church for a season. You know, my kids were very active in youth group. My son's an evangelist, and he'd bring kids all the time to youth group, and that all got cut off. And so that still has not been restored. You know, I remember the first day I didn't go to church with my kids on a Sunday. You know, it was just me and the kids, and I just cried and cried and cried. And I just thought it was so wrong the way how it happened, you know, and it was ugly. The enemy got a real foothold there. But I know God always brings, if we faint not, he always brings things to his glory. It's not for our, it's for him, you know, and he's not done. It's just a piece of it. And it's like, oh, you know, that was a good piece. You know, are they all good? No, but I don't dwell on the bad stuff. I refuse to even give it any space in my head. Because then what it does is it causes doubt. And, well, then did God really say? I don't even care. God's true. So my kids know where I stand. They know they can call me anytime. And they do. You know, I've been taking calls in the middle of the night. Mom, I need prayer. Mom, help me with this. You know, and we pray. And it's not, they don't come to me and listen, you know, because I'm such a great, we pray together, you know. And I try to say, well, what do you think the Lord's saying about this? You know, I try to open up relationship with them instead of, thus says the Lord, you know. So, you know, I know some people are struggling because, you know, you've been in marriages and there's been loss. Or you've been with a loved one and there's been a loss, you know, whether it divorce or death. I want to tell you something. The scripture that really strengthened me, God the Father is my eternal husband. He's the one that I seek. He's the one that gives me pleasure. And he's the one I cry to when I'm feeling a little blue or sad. I can go to man and they'll give me a pat and it's temporal, but there's nothing like the love of the Father. And my hope, my desire is for you to experience him and experience that type of love and intimacy where, you know, it's like this stuff on earth, it's like dust. You just don't care about it. You know, you'll get around to cleaning it off. You know what I mean? But some of you are like, I got dust, I got dust, I got to clean the dust. No. Go seek the Father. And then you'll get his perspective on it. And it's much better. And it's always pure. And it's always joy. I'm not saying we're not going to have hard times and hard decisions. We will. But I'd rather make them with Jesus than with my girlfriend or my husband. Or, you know, if I was still married, I would seek my husband for wisdom. But some of you are in marriages where your husband is a fool. I'm just being honest. And there is no wisdom there. You need your eternal Father. You need the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth, to help you. And there's some in here who are looking to get married. I'm just going to tell you, don't rush into anything, especially without the development of who you are in Him. That is the core to everything. And I'm just also going to throw this out here. I don't know who sows this or why they sow this lie. Some people have been sown this, you're supposed to get married. You know, it's not true. You know, think of Anna in the temple. She was married to Jesus. You know, some people do great damage in the body of Christ, and they'll give a prophetic word which is so full of the flesh. I see you getting married. I see you having kids. What's the Lord saying on that? I can't tell you how many, and this breaks my heart. I can't tell you how many times I've had to pray and get the word of the Lord to help clean the damage from a word that was not from the Lord. But because they're emotionally needy or because they wanted that, the enemy used somebody to speak a fake prophetic word. It's caused so much damage. And if that's happened to you, I'm asking the Holy Ghost to do one of those vibrating things inside of you right now, like a Holy Ghost shake, like, that's you, that wasn't true, that wasn't me, that was somebody's flesh. God's healing in here tonight, or today. And He's going to continue, and we've just begun, you know. Holly, do you have anything?
A lady gave us, there was a friend of ours praying over this meeting. She's praying for us. And as he's been sharing, this word has been floating to the surface. And she was talking about the story in the Bible of Abigail and Nabal. And Nabal was a fool. And his name means fool, and he is one, right? And David came for help, and Nabal was like, nah, I ain't helping you, you know. And Abigail was grieved over it because Abigail was really godly. And God smote Nabal, and he dropped dead. Abigail was given then to the king. She got to be the king's wife. And when our friend was praying, God was leading her. She has this amazing gifting to, it's just an amazing gifting to take the word, and in prayer it comes alive. And what she saw as she prayed for us, she said, there's going to be people here who are in a situation, and it may not be a husband, but it may be a situation where they're stuck with something that's just ungodly, foolish. And what she saw was God removing that situation and them being married to the king. So Abigail, she put up with Nabal for a long time, and he was a pill. And you know, there's some of us who lived with a Nabal and then got to be married to the king. And I feel like it may not be about a husband. I don't think God necessarily saying that. But the way she got it and the way she said it, I hope I'm giving it justice, is when you're tied to a situation and it's like a dragging, you know, it's you're trying to drag this thing and it's, you know, you're stuck to this situation. Could be a job, could be just a situation that you're trying to work through. I feel like what she was getting was that God is going to help break that situation off, and He's going to come back. Remember, you know, Abigail took the goods out to Him like she snuck, right? She got the bread and the grain and all this stuff and loaded up the donkeys and went out and chased David down to bless his troops. And if she hadn't, it would have been very bad. You know, David would have nailed him. But because she did that, you know, David remembered her, and I feel like there's something of that she got.
Thank you, Holly. So we, you know, we took this retreat very serious, and we have people praying, as Holly mentioned. You know, we have a team of people praying for you guys. And actually, one of the ladies said, how many? You know, she's praying. So even if you feel like you're still stuck, you know, God is moving, and there's a flow of His current or of His water. And I see a couple are still on the edge of, you know, that current's pretty fast. And I'm not sure I want to go in, but I believe the prayers of the saints are going to help you fall in effortlessly into the arms of Jesus. And so that's my prayer for every one of us, is to fall into the arms of Jesus effortlessly. And when you do that, you get his perspective and his covering and his love, and there's nothing like that. And so what I'm trying to say is, there has to be a detachment, and it is a choice. It's a free will choice to leave what you know and leave what you've always done, or the way you always think things should be. You know, if you can do that and say, Jesus, I just want you, he's not going to not meet with you, because his nature is true love and fellowship and oneness. And so I'm not saying that you're not going to have an experience or an encounter. I'm not saying you are. I'm saying it doesn't matter. You're here, and he's going to meet you where you're at. So whatever words that looks like, he'll meet you with the language that you know. So if you're hearing my language as, you know, a river, I'm going to jump in a river, you know, that's the picture I'm seeing. But you just might feel all the burdens lift, or you might suddenly see, gosh, I've been holding the household together. This is such wrong order. I'm letting it go. Now, that doesn't mean you just turn your back on it. You let it go and say, Lord, what do I do about this? And then you do what he says. He might say, let it all go, or call so-and-so, or just do this right now. And it's called obedience. It's called listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And I see he's getting us ready for, I can't give it English words, because when you see it, you don't see the whole thing. You just know. And I feel like there's something wonderful that he's preparing the bride for in this hour that we're in. And some of us still have the cares of the world, and it's because you don't know how to let them go. You're not in trouble. Let me just say that. You're not in trouble. But he's going to show you. He's going to find a way to show you how we all hear and talk with him in different ways. Like, there's people in here who have PhDs, and I have a high school education. So he talks to me as like a two-year-old, and I like that. And he when he talks to me, I understand his language. Now, did I know it all the time? No, I had to learn. It was a love language that we learned and still learning. He wants that connection for you too. And so some of you don't know how to let your bags go and the stuff that you're carrying, the weight of the world, you know. And some of you are some of you are mad at God right now. And I'm not laughing at that. I'm laughing at what he said. You're blaming him for a situation in your life. And I hear him saying, it's not my fault. And the enemy is like tricking you into believing that it's God's fault. You know, you thought if you would do it this way that you'd have this result. And God's saying, I am bigger than all this stuff, but you're looking at this little situation and the enemy's poking you in the side and getting you to react, and it's causing delay. He's got something for you much more. And I'm seeing that jet, you know, and he's like, come on, it's not too late. You know, he can grab your arm in the spirit and pull you on that jet. But once that thing is, you know, once it takes off and goes, and I don't know what the language is for that, where there's no return, will it be too late for you? Don't let the delays of the world and the cares of the world stop you. Now, I know there's emotions tied with that, because we have emotions. I'm not saying don't have emotions, but are they weighting you down to the point where you're missing what God is trying to give you today? I'm just talking about today. You can take the stuff back if you want, your junk, when you leave, but I don't think you will. But will you trust him today? Will you say, I trust you, Jesus, with my life? Show me what it is. Show me how to come into fellowship with you. Show me the blocks. Show me any trickery from the enemy so I can overcome it by your word and your blood. Help me, Jesus. That's a simple prayer of a child. And he always responds. And he gives us the picture of parenting, We always responded to our kids when they asked. So wouldn't he respond in a greater measure because he's limitless? So he's calling us, and I'm seeing stuff lift. I'm seeing stuff lift, but there's still a few. And you know what? He'll leave the 99 to go to the one. He loved you. So if you're the one, just say, I give it all to you right now, Jesus. I don't know what it looks like, but I'm going to trust you. Help me learn to trust you. Amen. I feel like I'm done. Amen. Amen. God's well pleased. I saw the last bit, you know, the last bit. And that's just this session. There's going to be more. But for this session, there was a few holding on, you know, out of fear and trickery from the enemy. And I feel like we're just being ripe for his good pleasure. I just love what he's doing. And so I'm going to pray, and then we're going to close. So, Father, I just thank you for everything that you're doing and undoing in here. Lord, we yield completely to you. We say yes to your plans and your ways. Lord, teach us how to recognize the walk of the Spirit and relationship with you in greater measure, in oneness, in details. Help us learn obedience. Obedience always brings a blessing. We want to be obedient to you. We yield ourselves completely. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Laurie Scanlon. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.